Today on Real Radio.
Children are so precious because you know what? Kids have a natural propensity to believe and trust in God. We mess them up. Children are just, they see God big. And when you tell a little kid, they're those, where did the butterfly come from, Daddy? God made the butterfly. And all the whole process, and he's got a little butterfly family somewhere, and they got all this butterfly world they live in. God did that. They just go, wow. They don't go with stuff like, but how does that cope with the Darwinian theory? You've got to talk God out of them.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always. My days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament Gospel or narrative written by Luke. Verses 46 through 48 of chapter 9 tell us of a dispute among the disciples of Jesus regarding who would be the greatest. The Messiah answered in a very curious way. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Heaven in Just One Easy Step.
In verse 47, we learn that it's one step to be open unto the Lord and his leading in our lives by being open to the fact that God is always right. We need to square with that right now, this morning. God is always right. He knows. God is always right. It says here that Jesus perceiving, look at it, the thought of their heart, that he took a little child and set him by him. The word the thought is singular. It means that they had one thought in their heart. They were all unified, by the way, on what that thought was. It was just a bad thought. And the word here to perceive is amazing. Jesus knew what they were thinking and what was the nature of their heart before it was ever verbally expressed. He knew inside of them. That, of course, is an attribute of God. And Jesus had that because the Bible teaches he was God in flesh come to earth, the Son of God. He knew what they were thinking. By the way, God knows what you're thinking, right? Now, he always knows what you and I are thinking. He sees our imagination. Jesus knows. And so knowing what he knows, he took a child. I wonder what they were thinking. Look, he's reaching for a kid, and he brings this child into the midst of them. He knows this. Look at also verse 47. To be open to the fact that we need to listen to what Jesus has to say. It says that Jesus took a little child and set him by him. This is a very sweet thing because you see Jesus Christ picking up a child. Note this, the child doesn't kick. The child's not crying. He's not freaking out. Jesus picks up the kid, the child, and sets him right alongside him. But apparently, from other scriptures, we know that the child was with Jesus in the midst of the disciples, right in the middle of them. And so there's going to be this amazing show and tell here in a second. He's going to show them. By the way, this word child is a great word. It means that it's probably someone between, somewhere around the ages of 2 to 5-ish. Young child, not an infant, as we know infant. This is and it's not exactly a toddler, is it exactly? Kind of a late toddler to a young child. And that's very key. I know people talk about the terrible twos. We raised girls. Maybe that's why we didn't know about the terrible twos. I don't know if it's genetically put into girls. I don't know that. But terrible twos. We never had terrible twos. Twos, they were great at 2 years of age. It's like 13. But remember when they were little and when they were 2 years old, you could say, hey, sweetie, can you get daddy's book? Can you get daddy's book? And they just go, and they get the book. They can't write. They can't type. They get the book. I tell you, they're amazing. They're so compliant at those ages. And that's the age that Jesus wants you to have in your mind. When you put a child on the wall, a young child of that age, you set them on the wall, jump, you better be looking. Because they're going to jump. It's when they get older. I'm not getting on that wall. No, get up on the wall. You get up on the wall. They don't trust anybody. They become cynical, diabolical. That's when they get to the age, did you just have some cookies? No, me, no, uh-uh. They lie. That's not the age we're talking about. Jesus is saying, you're going to need to become like a child like this. God is always right. We don't dictate to him. And we need to listen to Jesus. He knows what's best, and watch what he does here. He sets a child in the midst of them. I wonder if these big disciples, you got to remember who these guys are? Remember James and John? Remember last time in our study, they were the sons of thunder. You got big Peter, he was a gigantic guy, big guy. We got all the disciples, these are grown men. And Jesus sets a little kid up there, and this is the example. This is what you need to graduate from my school. Jesus would say, this is how you need to be. Usually, and you know what, when you're too big for yourself and you're too impressed with yourself and you're a legend in your own mind kind of self, you don't have time for kids. When you're such a mover and shaker, kids are often left in your wake. You got better things to do, bigger things to do. There's nothing bigger to do than kids. They're the future. If we live for the now, listen, if we live for the now, and that's all we're concerned about is what's in it for me, what is it for my comfort, then we've lost the future. But if we are willing as parents to be uncomfortable for the welfare of our children and the installation of righteousness and goodness and justice and mercy and love into their lives for the future, then we have a future as a nation or as a family or as a people. That's what's so amazing about moms. It's amazing that you're not going to get a thanks maybe till your child has a baby. And then they're going to call you and say, hey, you know what, I used to think you're crazy. But now I see why you did that. Thank you so much. Now I'm doing it the junior year. It's funny. Mark Twain said, as the older we get, the smarter our parents become. Man, I remember my dad saying that. We need to listen to Jesus. Kids can do amazing things. We just need to let them. Last time I read my Bible, a very young kid killed a giant. A young man, very young man, teenager, somewhere between 15 to 17 years of age, by the name of Jeremiah, spoke to a nation about God. What about Daniel? Daniel's a young man, taken captive, led before King Nebuchadnezzar, most powerful man on the earth, and witnessed for God. Point number two this morning is found in verse 48. Heaven in just one step, it is this, and this is still just one step. To be accepting of the Lord. Accepting of the Lord. And what do I mean by that? To be having your arms wide open to him. To be able to say to God, you know what, God, you're in control, and I want what you want in my life. Now, I warn you, you say that, and you might get a phone call from somebody. But pray it. Yield to him. Watch what happens. First service this morning, after first service, a young man, I don't know, somewhere around maybe 30 years of age, walked into this church this morning, heard the message, and just fell to his knees, wept, and accepted Christ because he said, you know what? I have been in charge of my life. I'm crashing my life, and I don't want to steer anymore. I don't want to be in charge anymore. And he gave up, and he prayed, and he yielded, and he says he wants God to lead in his life. That's exactly the heart that Jesus is talking about. But when we get to be adult-like, we begin to say things like, I got it, God, and I'll do this, and we just consult ourselves, not the Word of God, and we need to be careful, and we need to be open. Listen, regarding this verse, watch. And Jesus said to them, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me, a reference to his father. Now watch this. In Matthew 18, verse 4, there is the verse that connects to that. It's Matthew's view of the same event. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There you go. To humble yourself as a little child, Jesus is saying. Well, that would mean, first of all, that I need to understand that God is simple toward me. Church, listen, friends, God is simple towards us by accepting of the fact that there's a simplicity to God that is altogether beautiful. Jesus said, whoever receives this little child. Can you not do that? You say, of course I can. But this is what Jesus is saying. This little child, when you look at his nature, when you look at her eyes, when you watch their lives, Jesus is saying, that is a living, breathing picture of me, of my Father. If you can accept this child, listen, because of the things that you find beautiful and precious and innocent, glorious in this child, Jesus is saying, I'm telling you, that is the aspect, the nature of God. The kid is not God, but what the kid lives like, stands for, it's simple. You guys, you and I saw it this week. A mom is walking. The little kid, I don't know how big, but little tiny. The mother is walking, you know, with big strides. And the little kid, about every few, often the kid's foot would touch the ground. I mean, this kid looked like it was a windy day. I mean, it was just like hanging on, boink, boink. The mother had some place to go. And for every step she took, he had to take four steps. We need to slow down. Children are so precious because you know what? Kids have a natural propensity to believe and trust in God. We mess them up. Children are just, they see God big. And when you tell a little kid, they're those, where did the butterfly come from, Daddy? God made the butterfly. And all the whole process, and he's got a little butterfly family somewhere, and they got all this butterfly world they live in. God did that. They just go, wow. They don't go with stuff like, but how does that cope with the Darwinian theory? You've got to talk God out of them. You've got to remove that preciousness that they yield to God. It's natural. Listen, I hope I don't freak you out with this, but follow it through. Mom and Dad, when the kids are little, they look at you and I like they're God, like we're God. We can say something and it's like, okay. They don't know about God just yet. But when Daddy says, can you bring me my book? All right. Don't you think in the family that God, who made family, kind of engineers it that way, that when they grow up a little bit enough to know, hey, Daddy's not God. He's my hero. But God is God. I see. That's, don't you think the Bible is the connection? Jesus said, call God in heaven your Father. It's beautiful. It's tender. Simple. Listen, it's not a child's nature to hold a grudge. Jesus said, become like a child. Why? Because little children don't hold a grudge. Have you ever seen a kid out in the backyard sharpening an axe? That guy, man, I can't believe it. I'm going to go, I'll never forgive him. Which leads me to the other thing. A child's nature is never to withhold forgiveness. You ever seen little kids when they think they've upset you? Have you ever said, you know what? You hurt Daddy's feelings. Have you seen what they do? They cry with you. I'm just kidding. They feel with you. They don't hold a grudge. Will you forgive mommy or daddy? Yep. What do? We grow up. We're not supposed to grow up. Somebody will say, act your age. No. Listen, act my age. Wait, our God's eternal. I'm going to heaven. If I'm going to act my age, I need to act eternal. Well, you need to grow up. That's the problem with the world. It's wound too tight. It's growed up. Jesus said, you want to make it to heaven? You got to become like a child. Don't hold a grudge. Kids don't hold grudges. They issue forgiveness. Children don't hate. You got to teach them hate. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're not going to believe me. I saw it, heard it, my own eyes, this week in Washington. You're not going to believe it. Although if you care, I'll give you the data to go find it. You and I, every one of us, we've all paid, we are paying money to the United Nations. Follow the track. We pay our taxes. This amount of money goes to the United Nations to produce textbooks, authorized textbooks. They're printed in Europe, by the way. And they are given to the Palestinian children, little children, in Gaza and the West Bank. You say, what's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with it so far until you open the textbook. And it says in the textbook that the first chance you get, little junior, strap a bomb on you and blow yourself up in a gathering of a bunch of Jews. In the textbook. In the textbook, 2007. You say, I don't believe it. That's your problem. I saw it. How can you convince a child to hate? Unbelievable. Jesus said, if you offend the least of these children, it would have been better for you to have never been born. Children don't hate by nature. And then worry. You ever see kids worrying? First of all, a child should never worry. But have you ever seen a three-year-old walking around? How are we going to make the mortgage? How's it going to come together? Dad, what are you doing? Mom, get out there, work two jobs. What do you need me to do? I'll push the mower. What do you need? In my mind, I see this little kid in diapers with a cigar. How do we make this come together? He's got a little, you know, bookie thing on his head. They don't worry. They're not supposed to worry. Jesus said, you need to be like that. Is God God or what? Well, why is my life so messed up? Because you've been driving the thing. God wants to be in control. Simplicity. And then comparison. By accepting the Lord and accepting of the comparison of God. What Jesus does, he says, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me. That's amazing comparison. There's such a powerful word here. When you receive a child, that is when you open your arms, that's what that word means. When you open your arms wide to a child, open your arms wide to me. Can you do that? You say, well, Jack, it's Sunday morning. We've all done that. I just want to be safe and sure. Have you opened? Can you say this morning, I've opened my arms to Jesus like that? You say, well, Pastor, I'm a member of my church. Oh, that's not what I asked. And it's not what Jesus said. He's not going to ask you, and what membership did you have where? That's not what he's going to be asked. It's nowhere in the book. He's going to ask you, did you open up your arms wide to my son? It's one step into the kingdom to see me, God will say. One step. Did you accept my son? Not only by comparison, but by fullness, by accepting and being accepted of is the fullness of God. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. That's a strong word. Jesus is saying, you can't accept me unless you accept my Father. And you have no understanding of accepting a child unless you understand that. So step one was to be open to the ways of God. Step one is to be accepting to the Lord. And step one here is in verse 48, to be responsive to the Lord. For he who is least among you all will be great. Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 9, verse 36, says that Jesus took a child and set him in the midst of the disciples, and we had taken up him into his arms, he said to them. Isn't that beautiful? You got Jesus holding a little child. So we know this, whatever that word means in the age frame of age, they're small enough for Jesus to pick them up. And he's talking to the disciples. Look at this. Boy, kids are humble. And we fight this. Well, you know, come on. I mean, you know, I know we're funny. position, power. It plays on us to the point that we make it acceptable and normal. We'll justify it. Jesus says you got to become like a child. Be believing again and be trusting again. You say, well, Jack, you know what? I'd love to do that, but... And I'd love to be responsive to the Lord, but the fact is, I've been hurt. Has anybody not been hurt? Oh, I got to tell you something. I'm doing really good to control myself this morning. I kind of lost control for a service because in some of the guys that I was with this week, they're beautiful, dynamic black pastors from the East Coast. One of them was... known in the NFL as the praying tailback. His name was Herb Lusk. Played for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now he's pastoring a great church on the East Coast. And I tell you what, I am so white. I cannot sing and clap at the same time. And I just can't stand that part about me. But I tell you, when music gets going and stuff, I am so, so black on the inside. It just doesn't come out. And I tell you, these guys were, I say preaching. I mean, they were just going for it. And you know, they start going like that. And he goes, I need somebody to tell me an amen. And so, we didn't know what to say. Amen. And he goes, I'm not going to continue until you say amen. And we're going, amen. You know, we're trying to get into it. And he told a story. His first day in the NFL, first play in the NFL, he was scared to death. He said these guys were giants. First play, they're all out there and hear all this stuff going on. They come back to the huddle. And he said this big, huge offensive guard goes, oh, my hand. And he said his middle finger was completely busted and just laying back against the palm of his hand. And Herb Lust said, he looked at that and he said, my God, what am I doing here? He said that guy grabbed his finger and went. And he goes, what do you think, when we went to the sidelines, what do you think that big guy said? He said, wouldn't you think he'd gone to the sideline and said, give me a doctor. I need a doctor. He didn't say doctor. I need a nurse. He didn't say a nurse. He said, give me some duct tape. I need duct tape.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Heaven in Just One Easy Step. It's a look at Luke chapter 9 and verses 46 through 48. Part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we're still offering Pastor Jack's DVD series called Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word. It's a valuable tool for when we share our faith, as well as for our own personal review. Our offer is this. We'll send it to you for your contribution to Real Radio of any amount. Just ask for it by title, Jesus Christ Isn't a Curse Word, and it's on DVD. There's more than one way to get in touch. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in your tax-deductible contribution, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.